This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas, Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back inside the Quicken Loan Studios at the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. You know, as promised, it is time to stick our hand in the dirt. We are ready for some NFL news and notes. So we're going to pack our bags. We're going to head to Milwaukee to visit with the sports director of Fox 6. And that, of course, is Tom Pippins, who's going to provide some insight on his Packers. And all I can say is, oh, my goodness, because they have lost three straight and four out of their last five. Tom Pippins, welcome in tonight on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Is the sky falling there?
Well, first of all, best show going, and always an honor to be with you and the listeners, Big E. And, I don't know, something isn't right. The weather is, you know, we're in mid-November, and we're getting 70-degree record, and the Packers' record is 3-4. That's the first time they have been below 500 at this stage of the season, at least when Aaron Rodgers has been healthy, since his rookie season in 08. And so, yes, in some ways it seems the skies are falling. There are national reports that Rodgers and McCarthy, the coach, can't get along, and Aaron refuted that on Wednesday, putting that report down by Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, I believe, ProFootballNBC. So, you know, you get all this, of course, when you're not winning. And they want to fire Mike McCarthy. They want to fire Aaron Rodgers. You've got to redo everything. Just clean house. You know, we're not used to that. So, in some ways, in Packer Nation, the skies are falling. And yet, through all of it, and they've been abysmal, and the injury situation has been epidemic, they're still a game below 500 because the Vikings have lost four in a row and are tied at the top at 5-4 with the Lions as we speak on your show. Oh, man.
Right. And they have certainly struggled too as of late. And it's just so bizarre because we think about the Green Bay Packers, you know, they were the preseason, Super Bowl favorites, some say. And as you had just mentioned, it looks like Mike McCarthy's time in Green Bay, some folks talking about that, you know, he's on the hot seat. Should they fire him? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, I don't think so, because I think he's one of the most successful coaches in the land. Now, if the Packers don't make the playoffs this year, it would be the first time, I believe, in 8 years. They're tied with the Patriots for the longest tenure. I think that we really have become so spoiled here. You get up too close. If you take a longer-range view, Big E, I was reading about Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, and Aaron, of course, he didn't want to be like Brett. Brett, you know, later in the years, you know, he conducted his news conferences out of Wednesday in the auditorium, which is usually reserved for post game. And, you know, so he does his in front of the locker. He didn't want to do the interception thing. He's been a little bit better that way. But if you look at their records, comparable records, let's say 83-45, we're within a game or two each way in terms of wins and losses. That's not bad. But they were basically the same at those that tenure of their careers. And Favre went through a couple of sub 500 seasons and then got it back. Not to say that it'll end this way for the Pack, but it could. As we speak, as you point out, you just wonder, never mind about the Lions or the Vikings in the division, can they even win a game? You know, and if they do, is this a team that looks like it can go deep in the playoffs? So there's the ebb and the flow. John Elway went through this. Drew Brees is going through this. So it's hard to win in the National Football League. And let's be honest. There's no Eddie Lacy. He's gone. They just picked up Kristen Michael from Seattle. They haven't had a running back. They've been running with Ty Montgomery, a receiver in the running back position, and they've been, you know, they've been dinking and dunking. They left the no huddle, and you know, now they don't have Jared Cook. They picked up the gifted tight end who would open up the field. He's been out forever with an ankle. They may get him back on Sunday night for the road game against Washington. The defensive backfield has been absolutely decimated. They haven't had Sam Shields, their best corner, all season because of a concussion, and he's had four or five, and you have to be concerned about Sam personally as well as professionally. The young kids, Demarius Randall, they haven't taken the next step. Quentin Rawlins, but it's been an epidemic in terms of injuries at the defensive back. They get Clay Matthews back. They hope he's missed three games. They've lost all three. He's a mainstay on defense. He's one of their playmakers. But, you know, if you combine all that, you can see why this is a team that certainly has underachieved. But, yes, everyone was starting to talk Super Bowl. And I think everyone from Ted Thompson on down, I don't think he's done a great job of giving Mike McCarthy people to work with. So right now this is not their finest hour. Let's see what happens when we talk, let's say, again on your fine show in another month or two.
Uh-huh.
But right now, the skies are falling, and yet you want to keep it all in perspective, and I think those are just a few of the reasons why.
Well, and you're there. So, I mean, the Packers, as far as an organization, they're not big on changing head coaches because, what, since 92, they've had a total of only 4 head coaches.
Exactly. You know, Mike Holmgren arguably is a Hall of Famer. Mike Sherman had a lot of success, and then he became GM, and it didn't work out well. He ended up hurting himself. Ted Thompson came in. Ron Wolf, the Hall of Fame general manager, and, you know, a lot of people are thinking that Thompson should step down in favor of Elliott Wolf, Ron's son. Ron Wolf, the Hall of Famer, as you're well aware, and many of your listeners, I'm sure. And
sure.
He's kind of the next guy up. Young fella, very, very gifted. At one point, maybe the job will be his. But again, I think there's far too much overreaction. And there's a lot of noise, white noise, as number 12 likes to say. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been himself either. He has missed a lot of passes. Biggie, I will say this. If you look a little bigger, if you go back, say, 20, 21 games, the Packers are 3 games below 500. So they have not played good football in a year or so. And since that shocking NFC Championship game loss in January of 2015 at Seattle, when they had the game and basically just played to lose,
it
seems like things, relatively speaking, have gone downhill. I talked to Donald Driver earlier in the week. Donald was named to the Packers Hall of Fame, one of the all-time greats in every way. And I asked him, his perspective was the young guys, he's putting the onus on them. He said, you've got to be ready. He said, way back when Corey Bradford, a receiver for the Packers, went down with injury, I got my chance. I had to be ready. I was ready for the moment. He said he felt and feels as he looks at it that the young kids kind of assumed, well, we've got time. And they really weren't ready when their number was called because of injury to step up. And you point out wisely the draft and develop. Well, if you're going to do it that way, then you've got to have growth. They expect growth from year 1 to 2, 2 to 3, big jumps. And some of these kids haven't taken those jumps. And again, in part because of injuries that have decimated the team. So I think if you take all that, put it into the pot, you get a stew that is not necessarily successful and tasty. But once again, you can't give up on this team. Let's see what happens against the Washington team that is 5-1-1 after an 0-2 start.
Okay, the sports director with Fox 6 out of Milwaukee, he is back. Tom Pippins is with us at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. Tom, reach out to our national audience. Where can they find you online?
The Twitter handle is at PipsPicks. PipsPicks. Thank you.
Always some good posts on there. Okay, so you've talked about diagnosing in terms of, you know, what has been wrong with the Packers, all of these injuries. But as we look ahead to this weekend's game, what is the biggest and most immediate issue that they can resolve and try to get control of?
Well, I think they've got to avoid getting into a hole. Ironically, last year when they played on the road against Washington, they were down 11-0 in the playoffs, and then they stormed back for a victory. They've been getting into deep holes. Big E, it was shocking to see what the Colts came in and did with an inferior offensive line. They wanted the game more. I think there you could talk about a lack of energy at Lambeau Field. And then they felt they'd get it back against Tennessee. Well, you look up at the end of the first quarter, and it's 21-0 Titans.
Wow.
The defense has been horrible, so they've got to avoid a slow start. I think that's as big as anything else. The defense has been a sieve, again, without Clay Matthews, and they're all banged up in the secondary. But initially, that run defense was strong. In the 3-1 start, in the first 4 games, the offense scored 23 to 25 points. In the last few games, they've lost the 4 or 5. They've stayed the same. So for all the criticism of the offense, it's the defense that's been a problem, because in the last 5 games, that D has allowed 30 points a full 10 points more. So the Titans with Mariota and company, they scored touchdowns on the first four possessions. You have to go back into history. It hasn't happened often, and it hadn't happened in years before last Sunday in Nashville. So the music, there was a sour note there right away. So, yeah. Again, the offense, they start to come back late when they play street ball. And they've got to come out with that same intensity, grab a lead, and then convince themselves that, hey, you know, we can win. Because after a while, I don't care who you are, as you well know, you are a high-level athlete. The confidence starts to wane when you get into this slump. And but I think it's a little premature to talk about the demise of the Green Bay Packers. But as I sit here talking to you in mid-November, I'm wondering if they're going to make the playoffs. And we were all thinking this was the year, finally, they would get back to the Super Bowl 45 magical season, make a run. And again, it can still happen, but at this point, I mean, if you look at the Packers relative to some of the other good teams in the league, they don't seem to stack up.
The Packers conversation continues with Tom Pippins from Fox 6 out of Milwaukee.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. We've kicked off Hour 2 tonight with Tom Pippins, the sports director from Fox 6 out of Milwaukee. We've been talking about his Packers. We're also going to take time to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks and the Wisconsin Badgers. Well, and the Packers, Mike McCarthy, he has led the Packers to the playoffs each of the past 7 years. I have to wonder, just listening to you talking about they can't ease into games, they can't have these slow starts. Do they have enough veteran leadership to help them muscle through this adversity and to get them ready to go and to be firing on all cylinders right from the beginning?
Love that question. And, you know, I wish they had, going back to Donald Driver, a leader in that mold. Aaron Rodgers is more of a leader by example. He's quieter. Clay Matthews, the same. They really don't have someone who's a rah-rah type. Mike Daniels, the fine defensive tackle, is. In fact, after the Colts game, he was, you know, there was a profanity-laced tirade in the shower that the reporters weren't supposed to hear but couldn't help but hear. And so I think he's one of those. But at some point, I just think you're going to need a little bit more. I'm not sure they're all on the same page and listening with him. So I do question. And that's going to happen, as you know, Big E, when you constantly bring in young people. I think Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, the third year, very fine safety, was the guy given the pregame speech before the Tennessee game. Well, you've got a third-year guy doing that, you know. So I think in that regard, there is a little bit of a disconnect. But these are all things, as you know, that come into the fray when you're winning. If they were winning games, and I certainly would think they would not be 4-5 if they had a healthy Eddie Lacy, Sam Shields, ad infinitum. You know, I mean, they keep saying next man up, next man up. Well, again, as you're so aware from your experience as an athlete, you can only go so far with that. You know, the second and third team people are that way for various reasons, you know, whether it's a lack of gifts or talent and or whether it's just they need seasoning and they aren't ready to just be thrown in there. And that's what's happened to a number of these players.
You know, Tom, you mentioned the game against the Titans, and it seemed like what the Packer fans really showed up. They showed their support. They turned out in big numbers in Nashville. How are they overall? Can you give us a sense of, like, what they're going through? Because this is obviously, they're accustomed to winning. They're accustomed to being in the hunt for a championship. I mean, what are the emotions like up there?
Well, there's a lot of consternation. And I mentioned before, you know, fire Mike McCarthy, do this. You do have some of that. But, of course, these are fans who love their team through thick and thin. It certainly wasn't quite this way when we first came into town 100 years ago and they were losing all the time with Forrest Gregg and even the great Bart Starr. The successes were just not there in the ones and wins and losses. And then, of course, Bob Harlan, the president, begot Ron Wolf, who begot Mike Holmgren, Brett Favre, Reggie White, et cetera. And since that time, as you point out, with Rodgers following Brett Favre. I mean, how often do you get two Hall of Famers back-to-back? It doesn't happen too often. We can think of San Francisco with Joe Montana and Steve Young. So you know, the Packers expect more of themselves, but so do the fans. And so I'd say overall, you've got a shock Packer nation and one that is very, very eager to see some changes. Experience tells me let's again sit back. Let's look at the entire picture. But once again, there is a trend here. 2021 games, three games below 500. that's not Green Bay Packer like. So at the end of the year, if they finish 7-9 or even 8-8, even if they crawl into the playoffs in their first round knockout, I think they've got to do some serious thinking. The way it's structured, though, Mark Murphy, the president, I don't know if he's so eager. It might be a Ted Thompson saying, well, perhaps I'll just step down. I'm not sure McCarthy is going to be. If McCarthy is let go, he will have about five job offers within 5 minutes of the announcement. He's that good a coach. He's, you know, if he can get another Super Bowl, you might be looking at a Hall of Fame coach. How many coaches can say that on their resume? Not too many. But again, I just think we have to wait it all out and see if they can get on track here. But Big E, as we speak, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen. I'm seriously doubting after watching, you know, the last four of the last five losses and three in a row. I'm seriously doubting whether this team is capable of doing it, given the injury scenario and the performance below par.
Well, let's talk some hypotheticals. I mean, just if they were to make that move and fire McCarthy, I mean, who would replace him or who should?
Well, who's out there? You know, there are a lot of good young coaches, assistants, but to me, no one comes to mind of the caliber of a Mike McCarthy. It may just be, though, that you get into a spot where your message is stale. Maybe the team isn't responding. The players are vehemently denying that, by the way, the younger ones. And it was Rodgers who came out and said that report was totally inaccurate. It's nonsense. But again, it happens when you're losing. So I think there are probably some good youngsters. I say youngsters, relatively speaking, who have opportunities yeah. to come in. I don't think there's anyone necessarily within the Packers organization they'd move up, a young shining star. But to me, you know what? I'm fine with Mike McCarthy. I really am. I have a lot of faith in him and his energy level and his desire to win. He said, let's face the facts, earlier in the week when asked about, you know, if the team is responding to him. He said, I've had a blank of a lot of success here, you know, and he has.
Yeah.
And I think when his back, he's Pittsburgh tough, as Ted Thompson called him, the Steel City native. And when his back is against the wall, that's when he comes out scratching. So he's punching. You know, he's not scratching. He's punching.
Yeah. Always a pleasure. Tom Pippins is with us on SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's the sports director with Fox 6 out of Milwaukee. We've been hitting it hard talking about the Packers. Quickly, let's shift gears. We are, almost 3.5 weeks into the NBA season. Give us a hit on the Milwaukee Bucks. Where do they stand at this point?
Up and down, E, up and down. Earlier, you know, they've lost two games to teams who didn't have wins before they played them. One, in fact, to the New Orleans Pelicans, who that was a home game. So after they defeated them on the road, inconsistent. Giannis looks like an all-star. He is just, you know, doing. In fact, I think he became the youngest player and the second in history, I think, to throw up. You know, he stuffed the stat sheet. He's doing it all. Jabari Parker is coming on. The two youngsters are good, but it's a group that disappoints me at times with effort. The other night in Atlanta, they got off to a great start. They scored 9 points in the second quarter. Well, you can't win that way. They got down. They allowed a 19-0 run and fell down by 20, made a furious comeback only to fall short in the end. So I've been a little bit disappointed. 500 team at this juncture. It looks as if they're going to have a tough time making the playoffs. But again, this is a rebuild with this team. They brought in a few veterans. Jason Terry, one you're very familiar with.
Yeah.
Toledovich, a good outside shooter. They got the kid from Cleveland, Dellavedova. He's had some good leadership. But I think it's a group that's still trying to come together under Jason Kidd. And once again, the proof of performance, it's a small sample. Let's extrapolate out. Let's look at it here in 2-3 months and see where they're at. But this is a tough East division, and I think they'll be challenged to make the playoffs, though I certainly I'm not going to say that's not going to happen. You know, let's wait that one out. I think the greatest story, if I may,
sure.
is that of the Wisconsin Badgers football team.
There you go.
We expected a sub-500 season. Are you kidding
yeah,
me?
Yeah, they're rolling.
The schedule was murderous. You know, LSU, Ohio State, Michigan. My goodness, they have two losses, and one was against the Buckeyes in overtime at home, admittedly at home, and the other to Michigan, where they played them very, very tough. They're sitting seventh. They're in the conversation for Pro Football Playoff. The job that Paul Christ and his and they have had numerous injuries. The defense is one of the best in the country,
mm-hmm.
and they have just found a way. They all accept their roles and do it. It's one of the fine sports stories that I have seen in years.
Oh, we always covered all the Packers, the Bucks, and Wisconsin with Tom Pippins, the sports director from Fox 6 out of Milwaukee. Always a true pleasure and a privilege. Thank you so much, Tommy P.
It goes right back at you. God's blessings to you and the listeners. Look forward to the next time, Biggie.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. I'm so excited because it is time in our program for some NBA news and notes as we get set to immerse you in the latest storylines over the first 3 weeks of the season. He's our go-to guy. That is Steve Kyler from Basketball Insiders. Check him out online right now, basketballinsiders.com. Good evening, Steve. Always such a privilege.
Alyssa, always enjoy being on the show.
Thank you so much. Well, we're going to get right to it. Obviously, our home base, we are right here in Houston. And how about those Rockets? I mean, they drop a close one in Oklahoma City at Chesapeake Energy Arena. I want to get your pulse. What are some of those early impressions? Because the ball movement, the speed, Mike D'Antoni, I know they lost against the Thunder, but it really seems like he's putting his guys in a position to win.
Yeah, and, you know, I talked to some of these guys early on, and, you know, my question was, is the pace sustainable? I actually wrote about it. You know, it's the speed that'll kill you, and it's on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to, you know, really play up-tempo and get, you know, out on the break and really force teams to, you know, kind of panic a little bit in their transition defense and then execute their offense very, very quickly. And I think it plays to James Harden's strengths. You mentioned that Oklahoma City game. You have seven players in double figures. You know, normally you win that. But then you had a Herculean performance by Russell Westbrook, which has become kind of the new normal. Then you had a huge game from Victor Oladipo, and that was kind of the difference, was two guys on the OKC side showed up really big. And it was a kind of an off night for James Harden. You know, he was only at 13 points, and any given night you need him to produce a little bit more. And not just because they need the points, but because it forces, you know, you've got to defend him differently. You've got to do things and expend more energy towards him. But so far, this Rockets team looks really good. We'll see how they come together. I think the big challenge always with a Mike D'Antoni team is, you know, how much defense are they going to be allowed to play, because they really do want to kind of get back. And, you know, when you got guys kind of leaking out and trying to get to the races, sometimes it doesn't mean guys are staying in their situation. So, you know, they brought in Jeff Bezdelic to kind of run the defense on that side of the ball. And they do have some very good defensive players when you think about a Corey Brewer and Trevor Ariza. And both of those guys are really trying to make sure that, you know, the team doesn't fall in love with the offense, because you don't win basketball games in the NBA. You certainly don't win playoff games in the NBA without the defense.
Well, and that was one of the question marks coming into the season. Is this a strong defensive roster? And the other thing I want to talk to you about is, you know, even against that game against Oklahoma City, I mean, they just had too many turnovers.
Yeah, but to answer your question, no, it's not a defensive-minded roster. There are a few defensive-minded players. I think Clint Capella is a pretty good rim defender. You know, Trevor Ariza and Corey Brewer made their name in the league defensively. But, you know, Ryan Anderson's not going to be a defensive-minded guy. You know, Eric Gordon is not a defensive-minded guy. You know, these guys were brought in to get the offense way up and to really bring a lot of perimeter shooting. So you do lose a little bit when those guys are on the floor defensively, and it's just because they're not defensive-minded. So, you know, it's going to be a balancing act for them. They've got to find the right mix. You know, they've played KJ McDaniel some, but he hasn't played lately. You know, so they're still trying to figure out what's the right six or seven guys to really put on the floor, you know, for the bulk of the minutes. And once you kind of figure that algebra out, then you can start to say, okay, these are guys that we're going to maybe pursue in trade or maybe look to make roster changes. You know, Daryl Morey never sits on his hands when it comes to, you know, making moves. So this Houston Rocket team, and he said it already on record that, you know, they're actively looking for a second player to put next to James Harden. So no leap of the imagination is this a finished product for the Houston Rockets.
Well, incidentally, this is the 50th season in Rockets franchise history. And it just so that you know, I mean, the fan base here, Steve, they really seem energized. They're very excited about this up-tempo style and Mike D'Antoni. Lots of positives. But what is your view overall? I mean, they're missing still some key players. I mean, is this a championship roster, or what else do they need to add to the mix to make it happen?
Well, a second star. And to answer the question directly, no, it's not a championship roster, but it could be. You know, you've got a lot of guys that could come into their own, and, you know, they still haven't resolved, you know, Donatas Montiunas yet. So, you know, you can add that to the equation. There's a missing Patrick Beverley. So, you know, you can add that to the equation. But, they need one more guy. And when you kind of look at the Rockets compared to, like, the Golden State Warriors, San Antonio Spurs, or the L.A. Clippers, all of them have three guys, and in the Warriors' case, five guys. And, you know, having one superstar is going to win you some regular season games, but it's going to be really hard in the postseason when you're talking about winning four straight from any one of those teams. The Rockets just don't have the firepower.
Hey, Steve Kyler is with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. You can check him out at Basketball Insiders. Reach out to our audience, Steve.
Yeah, you know, you can always get me on Twitter. I am at Steve Kyler NBA, or swing by basketballinsiders.com.
Okay, so we're talking about the Houston Rockets. I want to zero in a little bit more on their new head coach, in Mike D'Antoni. He wasn't necessarily, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, he wasn't necessarily the popular choice to be hired for the Rockets, but it appears it really is working, and that it is the right move. Do you agree?
Well, you know, one, Mike D'Antoni's had, you know, a rough go of it since the Phoenix Suns. You know, he had a terrible run in New York where he wasn't effective. Then he was the guy that got hired instead of Phil Jackson, so you get that label. That team wasn't very good. Dwight Howard leads in free agency. So there's been a lot of mud on Mike D'Antoni's name, but very quietly, the NBA, and you look at the Golden State Warriors, you look at some of the, you know, the teams that are really playing with a lot of pace. You know, that's Mike D'Antoni basketball. It's shoot a lot of threes. It's get out and push and go, go, go. And, you know, it's sometimes guys are a little bit ahead of themselves. And, you know, Mike D'Antoni's style of basketball is what's in vogue. And you're seeing around the NBA that, you know, some of these defensive-minded coaches, Nate McMillan in Indiana, Frank Vogel with the Orlando Magic, you know, even Jeff Hornacek with the Knicks, is, you know, the old school basketball isn't necessarily winning basketball games anymore. And the younger guys and the guys that are willing to really play fast are having a lot of success. You look at the Lakers under Luke Walton.
Yeah.
They're playing fast and have a lot of success. So I know that fans didn't like Mike D'Antoni because he comes with a label of no defense at all. and that scares fans.
Bless his heart.
The truth of it is, I think it was smart for them to bring in, you know, a defensive coordinator and try to balance that out.
Well, to Mike's credit, too, I mean, you had mentioned talking about the Phoenix Suns, his time there. He really helped revolutionize the NBA and legitimizing a small ball and playing at a fast pace.
Or less a thing. So, and it's true, but it's funny. You talk to, you know, some of the advanced analytics guys, some of the, you know, the people that are really tracking what works in basketball, and the sooner you can get into the shot clock, the better. And the worst basketball and some of the worst percentage basketball happens late in the shot clock. So if you're not into your offense and getting a shot up at the, you know, the 10 second mark on the shot clock, your percentages just start to plummet for every second. So, you know, you got 24 seconds, you get four of them to get across and 10 to run your play and then do it all again. And Mike's trying to figure out how to get that in under 10.
Okay, the heart of the Houston Rockets, of course, is James Harden. He's playing at a high level. He's giving tremendous effort, posting big-time numbers. It's all because he's been set free from the Kardashian, right?
That and from any responsibility on defense. But the funny thing is James has been very good defensively this year. I think that he's taken some of the criticism to heart. I think that, one, the style of play really suits him, but I think he heard all the negatives. So he came into this not only in incredible shape, which was a big knock on him last year, but he came in with the understanding that this is his team and they're going to go as he goes. And much like we're seeing with Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City, is James is really thriving under that. They're putting the ball in his hands a lot. You know, not only is he at 28-something a game scoring, but he may end up leading the league in assists. And that's pretty big for a non-point guard. And to be in the 12 and a half assist range for a guy that's known as a scorer is pretty impressive. And, you know, he just keeps coming. You know, you kind of think, okay, this is going to be the night where maybe James isn't going to be a double-digit assist guy, and he ends up at 13, even when he's not scoring well. And that's normally when guys get selfish. It's, hey, I'm at 13 points in the third quarter, time to take over and get some shots up. He just keeps wheeling and dealing, and he's got an unlimited green light to not only playmate, but also call his own number, and he's had a lot of fun.
Well, Rocket fans, they love when he's out on the floor, but when he does, you know, step aside and take that time out, who needs to be stepping out and providing those quality minutes, because he means so much to the Rockets?
Yeah, no question. And that's the big question, right? Is it going to be Eric Gordon? You know, Eric Gordon can be a playmaker, has played, you know, the playmaker role on other teams. You know, I think Patrick Beverley is going to be a big part of that. You know, I think the one thing about James Harden is he's such a unique package of scorer or playmaker that there really isn't anyone else on the roster, and that's kind of part of the problem. You know, they're using Tyler Ennis as kind of the backup point guard, but he's not the guy. I mean, the drop-off there is pretty significant. So you've got to keep James on the floor almost the entire game, and then you run the risk of, you know, wearing him down. He says he can play all day, but keeping him at 40 minutes, 41 minutes a night, you know, he's going to run out of gas because he is the engine that makes him go.
Hey, more NBA talk coming your way with basketball insider Steve Kyler after this quick commercial break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Time now to rejoin Steve Kyler from Basketball Insiders. So I want to get your thoughts on just the positives with Dwight Howard, his departure going to Atlanta. It seems like that is a fit for him.
Yeah, the Hawks have been really good this year. And, you know, one, I think Dwight Howard gets a tough rap. He really does. Some of it's self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. You know, he could have stayed in Orlando and probably had wonderful all-star laden career, but he played DI. I want to look at the graphs on the other side of the fence, and it wasn't good. He didn't work in LA, and he thought it was going to be better in Houston, and it was for the first year, but then, you know, Dwight being Dwight gets a little antsy. He's in a good situation with a good coach. He needs the tough love that you get from a Coach Budenholzer, but at the same time, I think he's got a balanced roster around him. When you look at the way that Paul Millsap has played, Dennis Schroeder is an aggressive, attack-the-rim guy that's more than happy to give up the ball. He's not trying to shoot a lot. Kent Bazemore is really unselfish. And then they've got guys like Kyle Korver and Paolo Cefalosha, and they've got the right kind of guys. And look, he's playing at home. He's comfortable. He's happy. He's got kind of the green light to do what he does. And look, they're even letting him shoot the ball a little bit. And I think it is interesting to know how much Dwight has gone through and how bad his name got sullied for a team to say, look, not only are we going to invest a lot of money in you, but we're going to put you in that situation where you can be the guy again. And he's been it. And he's a big reason why they're having success. And, you know, I don't think anybody would have said Atlanta is the top team in the East 3 weeks ago. But there they are, sitting at the very top of the East. In the standings.
Okay, and perhaps what's one of your biggest surprise teams in the Eastern Conference? What about in the Western Conference? Who has overachieved so far this season?
Well, I think I'm going to go with the Oklahoma City Thunder in this regard, because outside of Russell Westbrook, they don't have a lot. They've got guys like Steven Adams and guys like Victor Oladipo, but these aren't like number two option guys, and they played really well, and Russ has brought his game up. And, you know, I figured if there was a team that was going to kind of stumble back a little bit, it was going to be the Thunder, because, you know, you lose so much in a Kevin Durant and didn't replace it and didn't come close to replacing it. So Thunder a little bit surprising to me, but they did have a very soft schedule kind of opening the season. So we'll see as they start to play some of these tougher teams how they hold up, especially over an 82-game season. But, you know, I would say the Oklahoma City Thunder, I expected them to fall off a little bit.
Okay, the Oklahoma City Thunder. What about the Clippers? I mean, here they are at the top of the Western Conference, and they've been off to a hot start and an offensive juggernaut.
Yeah, but this one's not entirely surprising in this regard, is that continuity is key in basketball. You see this with teams that, you know, even Golden State Warriors make some big roster moves and shake it up and bring in 5-6 new faces, and then there's a get-to-know-you period. With the Clippers, these guys know each other. They've been together for a really long time. They're healthy. I think that's a huge thing. But they're playing basketball at the level they've been telling us they were. You know, Doc Rivers has said for the last 2 years, he thought this core was a championship core, and he wasn't willing to break it up. Even when teams came calling for Blake Griffin offering a ton of value in trade, you know, the decision to kind of keep the core together, you know, they're playing really good on both ends of the floor. And more importantly, their bench is playing incredible basketball on both sides. So when your stars can do what they do, and Chris Paul's been great and Blake's been great, when you go to the bench and there's not a lot of drop-off in terms of defense and offense, how you run through it. That's how the Golden State Warriors did it last year, was they just kept sending wave after wave at you. That's how the Clippers are playing.
Well, will they be able to sustain the success? Because they have. Steve, they've underachieved over the past couple of years.
They've had a lot of injuries, and, you know, that's been the same. 2 years ago, it was Chris Paul's knee, and then you look at all the stuff that Blake Griffin went through and breaking his hand. And, you know, they just have never been able to catch a break and be healthy for a sustained period. And that's the sneaky secret of the Golden State Warriors championship run. With that year, they didn't lose a significant player in any meaningful game. A guy would miss a game here, a guy would miss a game there, but you didn't have that out for 10 game kind of thing, or out for 15 kind of game injuries, you know, and that's how you can win 60 games and be healthy going into the postseason. They didn't have that success last year. They did get banged up along the way. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, they weren't 100% going against the Cavs. So it's a real thing with the Clippers. It's when is Chris Paul going to break down? When is Blake Griffin going to break down? Because that's what's happened the last 3 years. But so far, they've looked great. And I think they show you that when healthy, they can play with anybody in the West. They can play with anybody in the NBA.
Time to wrap up our time with Basketball Insider Steve Kyler. He's been with us right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And my final question for you is, give us a hit. What about Phil Jackson? He made headlines this week. Loose lips sink the ship. I mean, what was he saying about LeBron? Come on, Phil.
Yeah, you know, this was interesting because it's kind of a context thing. You know, the entire piece, you know, with Jackson McMullen was much bigger than that, but that was the piece that kind of got pulled out. And there's part of me, and maybe it's like we're all way too sensitive right now. It's a really, you know, strange and challenging time that we're dealing with in our society. And, you know, everybody is a little bit more on edge than maybe they should be. You know, I always kind of caution everybody. My mother taught me sticks and stones, you know, don't swing at the pitch in the dirt.
Uh-huh.
To me, that was a pitch in the dirt. I was a bit surprised that one, Phil swung at it,
yeah,
and two, that LeBron responded to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was any malice in Phil. I wasn't trying to say something nasty or negative.
Mm-hmm.
It's a word that a lot of people use, and, you know, it's unfortunate. But again, I think what really kind of struck a nerve and why some of the people in LeBron's circle chose to respond to it was in the context of taking a swipe at LeBron. It was saying, you know, LeBron wasn't all the way in Miami, and it was questioning LeBron. And his friends came to his defense, and LeBron at the same time, you know, I question this too. Why is Phil Jackson talking about LeBron James in November? But he was asked a question, and he chose to respond to it. I think what's been a little more surprising is that he hasn't come out and said anything since then. You know, even the statement of, that's not really what I meant to say, that's what's a little surprising in all of this. But I do think that sometimes we get a little excited about things that don't necessarily mean anything. But he's Phil Jackson. He's won 11 championships, and he took a swipe at LeBron. So maybe that's what it is.
He knows his stuff. Basketball Insider Steve Kyler has been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Follow him on Twitter at Steve Kyler NBA. We'll talk to you again real soon, Steve. Safe travels. Thanks.
Anytime, Melissa.
That, of course, was Steve Kyler from Basketball Insiders. We always like to take time to recognize and thank all of our amazing guests tonight here at the Big E Sports Show. Be sure and join us next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports right here at SB Nation Radio.